And now, live from New York City via Los Angeles, California, it's time for The View from Over Here with the man who has a view for all seasons, your host, Stan Weisleder.
Hey there, this is Stan Weisleder in the studio with Malcolm Berman, and you are listening to The View from Over Here on CRN Digital Talk Radio, which is also on the World Wide Web at crntalk.com. What's the news for the week?
Tell me.
Ever hear of the expression, put your money where your mouth is? Well, don't. Your bottom dollar may be just that, dirty money. Get it? Bottom? Researchers at NYU have found over 3,000 types of bacteria on sample $1 bills. In another sampling of 81 dollar bills taken from an unnamed New York bank, they found 1.2 million separate DNA segments. In 2012, microbiologists at Queen Mary University in London found that 6% of the banknotes tested had levels of E. coli comparable to that of a toilet seat. Now, that's what happens when you wipe your ass with your money, even though sometimes that's all it's good for. Speaking of asses, a-hole number uno for the week is Fraser Glenn Cross, age 73, an anti-Semitic, white supremacist, and KKK aficionado who killed three people as part of his latest Jew hatred outing. The jerk-off genius didn't find out until after his dastardly deed that his victims were not Jewish but were Christians. Two Methodists and one Catholic.
Yes, Stan, I think you wrote that before the latest a-hole incident.
There's another one?
Yes, just as more popular than that one. A guy named Donald Sterling.
Oh, well, that's separate. So let me finish this one. All right, getting to this nutcase, was it a case of mistaken identity or mistaken stupidity? You'll have to ask his lawyer, who I am sure will be pleading not guilty. Donald Sterling, that's something totally different, and the dust hasn't settled on that, and we're getting new things every day. I think by next week we'll be in a better position to sum up that one.
Well, actually, after the show today at 11 o'clock, there's supposed to be a news conference with the NBA, Adam Silver, saying what the initial penalty towards Sterling will be.
Well, let's tune in and see what they have to say.
We will. And as a matter of fact, I had asked you earlier. You were supposed to get tickets to the game, but you didn't.
Hey, so I screwed up. What could I tell you? Anyway, P.T. Barnum said it. There's a sucker born every day. And with the internet or World Wide Web, it's a lot easier to find them. How many of you out there have received one of those enticing email scam letters with a hard luck story of one kind or another and the promise of turning over millions to you? Okay? Here's what I do when I get them. I save them and I pass it along to the next offer that I get. How about that? Okay? Now, maybe it's the same person or their relatives that keep sending them out. Either way, I think they'll get a chuckle out of it when I send them the prior one.
Did you mean they aren't legitimate? This woman's husband or father didn't die in South Africa?
I don't think so. It's all BS.
And there's $20 million she has to get into this country, and she's willing to give me five?
Right. Oh, yeah. They're willing to share it with you. All they want is your Social Security number and everything
else.
And
my bank account number and my mother's maiden name.
For the password. Last item of the news. Do you remember the that horsey, and that's a joke, Beverly Hills mansion where some scenes for The Godfather were shot? Well, you can now buy the place for a mere $135 million. Livestock not included.
Oh, or dead stock.
Or dead stock, either way. Okay, let's get to our first guest for today. We have this.
She's on.
She's on? Okay. We have a young lady with us, Odette Warder, W-A-R-D-E-R. And what makes this guest of particular interest, I believe, to just about everybody is her perseverance. Won't you say that, Malcolm?
Definitely. Odette, are you there?
Yes, hi. Yeah, thank you.
Okay. Thank you
for having me on your show.
Yeah, tell us what happened. I know you have a unique story.
Well, I have quite a few different stories, but I'll start with my first one. I'm a living miracle. People in my hometown in South Africa call me the miracle child because that's what I am. Okay, what happened to me when I was 16 years old, I was in a motor vehicle accident, a head-on collision. And I just had whiplash, so my brain moved from the one side to the other side. I didn't even knock my head, just whiplash. And I was straight in a coma because of the brain injury. So I was taken to a hospital that was specializing in brain surgery. They drilled a hole in my skull. They shaved off all my hair. They drilled a hole in my skull, inserted a monitor in my brain to release the pressure. And I had four neurosurgeons with me 24/7, like they were doing shifts, but they were wonderful. And on the second day of my coma, I almost died. And the neurosurgeons called in my parents and my brother, and they just said to them, you have to say goodbye to Odette because we have done everything medically possible to give her, you know, to help her, but we can't anymore. She's in the hands of the Lord. So my parents and the nurses and the neurosurgeons, they stood around my bed and they prayed. And as they were praying, I was getting out of the critical stage. So then after a week, I was sent back to my hometown, Margate, in South Africa. It's a coastal town. So I was sent to the hospital over there for 1 month. And I opened my eyes, but I still had no speech. So I was sent home to recover at home. And when the doctors were like, I was going for all these kind of tests to see what kind of, the severity of my brain damage. And the doctor said, I'm going to be in a wheelchair the rest of my life. I'm not going to be able to achieve anything. I'm just going to be dependent on my parents. So I heard this, and I was just like, hell no. I'm not going to give up on my life, you know. So it took me 18 months of every day going through rehabilitation, learning how to speak again, learning how to walk again. I was like a baby at the age of 16, so I did that. And after 18 months, I saw the neurosurgeons at my lawyer's office, Robin Pedersen, and the lawyers asked my lawyer, like, where is Odette? Because they were expecting me to be on a wheelchair.
But tell us, what are you doing now? Okay, we know about your recovery. What are you doing now?
Now I'm an actress, and I work in film production. And I'm actually on set at the moment. I'm on film set today. So they gave me a little break to take this call.
Okay, have you written a book about your life experiences?
No, I have a summary of it, and I'm actually just wanting to, I'm really wanting to have a book written and also a movie, a film made of this, because I'm a living miracle because the doctors say I shouldn't be like I am today, you know? And the other thing is, a few years later, I almost drowned in the ocean, and a guardian angel saved me.
Well, and have you made a full recovery?
Yeah, I made 100% recovery. I'm a medical miracle. You know, like neurosurgeons are actually following my progress over the years. Like I've had a neurosurgeon contact me last week, and he said he's been following me for years, and he can't believe how I've improved in my life because. Today, I'm in New York City, and I'm an actress, and I just love my career.
Well, Odette, do you believe that it was a miracle by God, or how are your personal feelings about it?
Yes, I definitely believe it was by God, and it's the grace of God that I'm here today and that I'm alive. And I just believe everybody has the power within yourself. You can overcome anything.
Okay,
you
know, Deb, like, what are you playing in now?
Me, no, I'm actually playing in a wonderful movie. It's Casanova Was a Woman.
Casanova Was a Woman?
Yeah, it's a SAG film, so it's going to be, it can have the potential to be big. It's a comedy, and it's really funny, and yes.
And that's being, and, it's being shot now, or?
Yes, it is. They're actually shooting now. They just gave me a little break to do the interview with you.
And where's it being shot? Are you on location now?
Yeah, we are in Brooklyn.
In New Brooklyn? York.
Whereabouts in Brooklyn? I come from Brooklyn.
In fact, we had three of us here. We had three of us here from Brooklyn.
Oh my goodness! I'm at Kingsway Highway.
Kings Highway and where?
I took the train to Coney Island, the N train.
Okay, know the area very well.
I live in Manhattan, so this is like. Oh,
you're in Manhattan. Where do you live in Manhattan?
Chelsea.
Oh, Chelsea, that's a nice area.
All right, listen, Odette, we have a commercial coming up. We have to cut it off.
Okay.
But listen, I want to thank you very much for coming on board and sharing your miraculous story with everybody out
there. Thank you.
And let us know more about the movie. You have our email addresses. Let us know when it's being released, and we'd love to do a review of it. And if you're in Los Angeles, you know, to come in here in person.
Thank you. And people can follow me on odettevorder.com. I have all my links on my pages on there.
And don't forget, if you decide to write a book about your life experiences, which I think would be fascinating, you give us first crack at it, and we can tell about it on the show.
Well, I will definitely. And thank you very much for having me on the show.
Okay. Thank you again.
Thank you.
Now, speaking of Brooklyn.
Brooklyn. Oh, yeah. Oh, we forgot about him. Well, no, I'm only kidding. He's been waiting patiently. Our next guest and our primary guest for today is Lou Zigman. Okay? Lou is a man of many careers, and he has two careers. During the daytime, he is a lawyer and a judge, and at nighttime, he is a producer.
Yeah, but I'm not interested in lawyers and judges, and we see that all the time. I want to find out.
We want to talk about his production abilities and his production, whatever he did and so forth and so on.
And then all
of that. We know what he did, but we want to have him talk about it.
No, but I want him to talk about, which I first met him out here. It was a New York alumni club, a high school alumni. And it seems like every place I go, I meet someone that is from Brooklyn. They either went to Lincoln or Madison, or one of the high schools, or
50-odd high schools, or more.
My wife is always amazed. She's from El Salvador. And any place I go, up in San Francisco, Nevada, any place we go, I'll check into a hotel, and I'm friendly. I speak to people. They went to high school in New York. And half of them know somebody that I know.
It's like in the old days, everybody knew somebody who knew somebody who was connected.
6 degrees of separation.
Okay, yes, but it's even less than that.
In our Brooklyn, it's one-on-one.
Yeah, let me say this about Lou. I know Lou and Fran for a lot of years, and I have to tell you, the show that they produced for the New York Alumni Association, and I tell people this all the time, it was absolutely the best New York-style show out of New York that you could ever possibly see. Well, and each year it got better and better and better until they decided one day they just didn't want to do it anymore.
Anyway, hold that thought, because I have some stories also, because we're up against a commercial break.
Yes, and after this commercial, it will be Lou Zigman, and he will be telling us what it's all about.
And you're listening to CRNTalk.com, and you can hear our show on www.view from over here, no there, and we'll be back in a few moments.
Hi there, this is Stan Weisleder in the studio with Malcolm Berman on CRNTalk.com, and our special guest for today Lou Zigman.
Just an aside, how can you have more New York than listening to Rhapsody in Blue by George Gershwin?
Well, you have the three of us.
But to me, you hear that. I hear that song, I think of New York. I think of the Woody Allen movie, Manhattan, which it was the opening theme. And I had lived out in California for about 2-3 months when that opened. And I was in the theater, and I was ready to move right back to New York. They had the sun rising over Central Park, and I lived on Central Park West and 90th Street. I saw all these old familiar places. I was homesick.
Malcolm, enough about you. We want to talk about Lou and what he is
the,
doing.
The show is about me.
I know.
Didn't you realize that?
Yeah, I know.
Okay, let's
anyway,
get to Lou.
Lou, you are our guest for today. What would you like to say about the producing business? What have you produced? What are you going to produce?
Well, we started just as a lark, a reunion from Abraham Lincoln High School about 35 years ago. And it grew into just a career, basically, an avocation, which we just had we've had a ball for 35 years until we semi-retired, my wife and I, Fran. And there are just hundreds and hundreds of great stories. But Malcolm, you might think about moving back to Manhattan, and after about 10 seconds, you'd remember the weather and the beauty out here, and you say, no way. But our philosophy and our logo, our basic feel was always, we grew up in the best of places, and then we moved to the best of places. Right. And we have the roots of our upbringing politically and everything educationally, but we live out here in paradise.
Yeah, well, when I think of Manhattan, of course, I think of being 25 years old, being single, and living in New York, in Manhattan. And
I think you're still thinking about it.
Right. I don't want to tell stories, but now that you're married, have, you know, two college-age kids, it's a little different story. But going back to the first New York alumni or Lincoln alumni, I believe that was at Bernie Kornfeld's house.
That's correct.
Who was a disgraced financier.
Well, we actually, it used to be George Hamilton's house, and Bernie bought it from him, and Bernie happened to be from Lincoln. We got in touch with him. At the time we got in touch with him, he was actually in jail in Spain, either France or Spain, on the overseas investment scandal. And he said, you can use our house for the Lincoln reunion. And about a week before the reunion, he was exonerated from jail and from the charges. And he says, I'm going back to my high school reunion. He didn't really come.
I don't remember him.
But we had a great reunion. We were on the CBS guy that my father worked for, Walter Cronkite. My dad worked for him. We were on Walter Cronkite coast to coast with our Lincoln alumni reunion. It was a tremendous success. We had over 1,000 people showed up, and that was what started this whole odyssey and our fantastic career over the last 35 years.
Well, I remember that. But one of my favorite was when you had Lincoln play Madison. Lincoln High School playing Madison High School basketball. We were traditional PSAL rivals. And we were playing in Beverly Hills High School. And I remember Lou Gossett was there playing with us, who was on the basketball team. But I remember I was on the starting team, and the first shot, someone hit me, and I got to the foul line. And everything was cool until I realized there were about 200 people in the audience, and there are 400 eyes looking at me. Hmm. And all of a sudden, my muscles froze.
Lou, question for you.
Let me just tell you, that arose because I had the absolute pleasure of going from Lincoln High School to Beverly Hills High School in my sophomore year. And that's why we did our shows eventually at Beverly Hills High School. For me, it was a combination of both high schools. And I used to play basketball it was in the swim gym where we had the game, which we arranged. And, yeah, it was great. Yeah.
Well, wasn't that the one where forget what movie, where the pool opens? It's a Wonderful Life, where the floor separates and they fall in the pool?
That's correct. It was built during the WPA. And during the day or when we were playing basketball, then the floor would open, and then you had the swimming pool, and that's where the swim team and the water polo teams used to play, and we used to go swimming in there.
Were there ever any errors where the floor would open up while you're playing basketball?
No, once it closed on some people, maybe. I don't know about that, but it's still there, and it's great. Mm. It's in great shape, and it's a wonderful place.
Lou, I get the question all the time. People ask me, whoever I run into, they say, are they going to resurrect the New York Alumni Association shows? And I keep saying, I don't know. And whenever I see Lou, I ask him the question. So let me ask you that question while we have millions of people, I think, listening out there.
Well, Lou, think about it, because we're faced with another break. But then we have a long period of no breaks. Anyway, you're listening to The View from over here on crntalk.com, and you can listen to back shows on www.viewfromoverhere.com, and you can even email us. But stay tuned, and we'll be back in a few minutes with Lou Zigman, the chief of Brooklyn. Go.
Hi there, this is Stan Weisleder in the studio with Malcolm Berman and our special guest for today, Lou Zigman.
And by the way, we got to get that horn in, that's why I give
horn,
you a few
yes,
seconds.
The horn, what about the other instruments?
Well, that's, I mean, I love the whole composition, but we're a talk show, we're not a music show.
Well, we're music and talk and entertainment and controversy and
entertainment is
et cetera, et cetera. Let's get back to Lou. We posed a question to him before the break. Lou, have you thought about it?
Oh, we think about it all the time, and Fran wants to do something, and we may do something. But, you know, we had a great third run of 30, 35 years. And it's a pleasure for you to say, Stan, that the show's got better and better every year.
It did. It was unbelievable.
You just gave me a list of the honorees that you had, which is a who's who. Phil Foster, Ruby Keeler, Hans Hall, Jan Murray, Milton Berle, Joe Bologna, Renee Taylor, Dick Van Patten, Hal Linden, Steve Allen, Connie Stevens, Lainey Kazan, Jerry Vale, Martin Landau, Gene Barry, Tony Orlando, Favish Finkel.
Favish.
Rita Moreno, Melissa Manchester, Lou Gossett, Tzitziza, among others. It's amazing. And all of these guys are from New York?
All of them were from New York. Oh, we left out Mickey Rooney. Mickey Rooney was from Brooklyn. His parents were in vaudeville. They appeared in Brooklyn one night. She gave birth the next night. They left about 2 days later. But as far as Mickey was concerned, he was a Brooklyn person.
He was an amazing character. I met him several times.
And also they would adopt people, make them honorary New Yorkers.
Yeah, well, I have adopted New Yorkers. Peter Lupus, I remember him from Mission Impossible. Monty Hall, Tony Martin and Sitcher Reese, Theodore Bekele. I thought he was from Brooklyn, New York.
He's from Austria.
Austria. Well, that's the same place.
From another country.
Jack Malcolm. Lucas, Ed Ames. Norm Crosby, I know he's still around. Shecky Green, I think, is still performing. Shelley Berman, who we just met at this book signing. And Charles Durning. Those were honorary New York. You made them honorary New Yorkers?
Right. But back to the compliment is that when people tell us how great the shows kept being, I try to remind them, if they remember in the beginning when we had Milton and Sid and Jan Murray and Hunts Hall. So we had big names then, and it was a nice testament, without being egotistical, that the shows kept the quality, even though those names eventually went to heaven.
Mm. Yeah. Well, I'd like to adopt some people for New York for future shows. Angela Jolie. Jolie, maybe.
Well, that's John. Well, John Voigt was one of our. Voigt and Lou were our chairman, and we knew Angie when she was a baby.
Right. Shakira, she would do very well as an adopted New Yorker.
Do they talk to each other?
Who?
John?
John Voigt and his daughter?
Yeah.
I think they made up.
Yeah. Yeah. We adopted people who people perceived to be New Yorkers. And that's how we got into the adoption part of it.
So I thought it was just if they came to New York one day, they were eligible to be adopted.
No. We had a very strict policy of picking people who have the qualities and endearment of what a New Yorker is.
Yeah. Well as we were talking off off mic, I'd love to be able to resurrect starting, the New York alumni, not necessarily for the people who are from Brooklyn, but I know a lot of people, like I'm from Brooklyn, my kids don't know what it's like living in Brooklyn.
They don't know what
Brooklyn is. Because that's really a state of mind, not necessarily the way it is now. To do activities that I could show, we played stoop ball, we played, hit the penny. To them,
they don't know what that is.
No, they live out in Los Angeles. Yeah, they're parks. They go to the park to play. We I lived in Coney Island. We never went to the park. The park was 5 blocks away. I played in the streets.
Well, first of all, a lot of people call it the Brooklyn Group because we started out as the Brooklyn Group, but we very quickly expanded to all in New York. But Brooklyn people are a little bit more in-your-face type, proud of being from Brooklyn and New York. The Bronx people, their personalities were, we love the Bronx as much as you guys in Brooklyn, but we're not in your face like you guys are.
Well, the difference...
Lou, how many high schools were there as part of the Alumni Association?
Well, every high school in New York was represented, and we even took the ones in Long Island. And, there are probably over 70 that were
70 high schools all together.
Yeah, everybody was inclusive. And but it is the New York Alumni Association, because sometimes people forget that, because we all feel part of New York, but also especially with Brooklyn.
Right. Well, we used to clump. I remember when I lived in Brooklyn. Brooklyn and Queens were almost like one unit because you could travel along the Bell Parkway. Mm-hmm. The Bronx was a different world because you had to go through Manhattan.
You had to cross a river.
Yeah. Well, no, you had to go down,
bridge.
Gowanus Parkway. Right. They had the
Malcolm,
Brooklyn.
There was a bridge, Bronx Whitestone Bridge.
No, that's going the back
bridge,
way.
Right.
Avenue Bridge.
Now, from Brooklyn, we used to go through the Gowanus Parkway to the Brooklyn Battery Tunnel, to West Side Highway.
How many times? I was in the Bronx maybe once in my life, but I've been in the Bronx a lot more since.
But were you ever in Staten Island?
Yes, I was. We used to go, our Boy Scout troop, we used to go camping in Pouch Camp in Staten Island, where I went about 2 years ago. Somebody showed me around Staten Island, and the camp was still there.
I remember that, Lou. When I was in the Boy Scouts, we would take the train to the very, very last stop at the end of Staten Island, and then we had to walk a couple of miles, and that was Boy Scout camp.
I was never a Boy Scout. I haven't had that experience.
You don't know what you're missing.
It was fun. That was fun. The point is, those of us who got together is because we actually loved and enjoyed our upbringing in New York and everything about it. And the ones that didn't obviously don't have the same feeling that we all have. But like you said off the record, or you said on the record, on the radio, you meet people from New York and from Brooklyn, wherever you go throughout the country and throughout the world, all over the world. I was in Taiwan, Republic of China, speaking at a college in the middle of the country, and the president of the college, a little nice little Japanese man, Chinese man, came over to me and says, "Lou, I went to Brooklyn College." I went to Brooklyn College. So you meet people everywhere. And they all have great feelings about New York and particularly Brooklyn because, Jackie Robinson, the Dodgers, things of that nature in the old days.
Well, I am forming an affinity now for the Brooklyn Nets. I just ordered
a basketball team?
Yeah. I just ordered a T-shirt that says that they warm up in, and it says Brooklyn Basketball.
Right. That's right.
And now they're in the playoffs.
They are?
Yeah, they're...
When they opened the arena last year, and we're good friends with the borough president, now he's no longer the borough president because of term limits, Marty Markowitz, and I said to Marty, "Well, this is one of your dreams that you were involved with." He says, "Yeah." And I said, "Marty, are you going to address the audience the first night that they open up?" It was actually, I think, Jay-Z opened it up.
Yeah, well, he was one of the owners, right? I think he still is.
And Marty says, "You know what? I'm not even allowed to say I'm not even allowed to welcome the people to this stadium because of the time constrictions and everything else. I felt really, really appalled by that. But everything's worked out great down there.
Yeah,
with the ballpark and.
Well, they do more concerts. There was a concert. Barbara Streisand had a televised concert.
She was
on
second
PBS.
After him. Right. She wouldn't let him speak either. Really.
But I'll tell you how deep feelings go for Brooklyn. I'm still angry at the Los Angeles Dodgers for moving. And Walter O'Malley, who was the owner of the Dodgers, for leaving Brooklyn. In fact, there's an old joke about if you had a gun with two bullets and there was Walter O'Malley, Hitler, and Stalin, who would you shoot? And with the first bullet, you'd shoot Walter O'Malley. With the second bullet, you'd shoot Walter O'Malley again to make sure he was dead. There was so much passion back in those days for baseball.
Yeah, but from what I've read lately, it wasn't really his fault. He was forced into it because of economic reasons and because of what Robert Moses did.
Well, Robert Moses was really the bad guy.
Right. And if you were 15 years old, yeah, you would feel the right way we all felt. But over the course of the years, and I mean, I have a great story about Peter O'Malley and meeting him in his office 15 years ago. And I mean, they're all real mentions.
Let's hear it, Lou.
No. I mean, there's no really logical. It goes back to the feeling and the angst that I had, and the disappointment when they left Brooklyn.
Absolutely.
I mean, there's a book, and I forget the name of the book, but it was written about Robert Moses and how he stymied the construction of the new stadium.
When you think back, when the Giants left and went to San Francisco,
no one cared.
No one gave a damn. They didn't give a rap.
The Giants were losing money, and they had a hell of a stadium there.
The Giants didn't have that same history of the Brooklyn Dodgers.
Well, the Dodgers, even when they were a losing team, they had a large fan base.
Was always them bums. Till next year.
The Giants actually moved right after Brooklyn, so it was the Brooklyn was the fait accompli, and then the Giants just happened to move.
Actually, probably O'Malley wouldn't have moved if Stoneham didn't move, because it was the problem would be that traveling.
Right.
Because at this time you had to go, you know, most of the teams were still back east.
How many major league teams are there now? Like 48?
Now there's a lot.
How many?
I don't know.
When I was a kid, there were 16. It was 8 in one league and 8 in the other league.
Yes, 16 teams there were. That's it.
Okay, and how many are there now?
Now I don't know. They're probably
double.
No, more than double. You kidding? Because each you have the west, the east, the American East, West. There are a hell of a lot of teams. But the big thing is, I remember when I was a kid, if a guy was hitting less than 300, you know, right, he wouldn't be on
terrible
the team.
Right.
Now if you hit 230, you're making $7 million a year.
What about the pitchers? Pitchers would go for 20 games during the season. They would win 20 games. Now, you know, if they win 10 games, that's pretty damn good.
Yeah, if they go six innings, they're a good pitcher.
Yeah, and in the old days, I remember pitchers going the entire game.
Now we're listening to the Alta Cockers.
The Alta Cockers.
And remember all the times. And that's really what would go on when we did our reunions. They were reunions and shows. So we would have a three-hour reunion in the parking lot at Beverly Hills High School where we would play stickball, and we'd have all the high schools, and people could reconnect. And then from that, we would go in and we'd have a three-and-a-half-hour music and variety show emceed by Milton Berle. For 15 years. And people were doing exactly what you're doing, I always used to call it Brigadoon, because when I went to Beverly Hills High School and I sat in the auditorium watching rehearsals for Brigadoon, first time I ever saw musicals. And Brigadoon, every 100 years, it comes back to life. And our Brigadoon was at Beverly Hills High School. The New York alumni would come back to life once a year, and everybody would reappear, and the stories, just like you're doing right now, go on and on. Everybody's schmoozing, and then we go in and we get this great show from all these great celebrities.
Yeah. In fact, talking about great shows, about childhood, I don't know if you saw the special that Billy Crystal had.
Yeah.
700 Sundays.
Right. We saw
that was based on his Broadway show, right?
Right.
But it was just on PBS last week.
Right, yeah. Billy's another personality.
Yeah, but we should invite him for the next...
Billy is not I know Billy very slightly, and I've had some dealings with him. He's a very his persona is completely different from his outside public persona. He's a very quiet, reserved guy, very private.
Well, maybe
he's
we'll
not make, one of those guys that are just like you see on TV, which he's a nice guy, but he just has that. He doesn't come to those type of things.
Maybe we'll make him an offer he can't refuse.
Well, if you did that, that would be great because he's terrific. But
Lou, I have a very important question for you. You have two careers. You have two lives. Which one do you like best of all? And I know you do like them both, but which one do you like best?
Oh, no, there's no question that the producing these shows is the best because the people – I just said this to Fran 2 days ago. We went to this dance a competition for kids with professional dancers. And I always say this. The people we meet in the entertainment field – by and large, like 90% are warm, friendly, outgoing, loving. They're terrific people. I mean, the people I meet in my business are the same.
In your business?
They're the same. Labor. I do a lot of work with labor unions. I do a lot of work with management people who are involved in collective bargaining. They're great people. But the entertainers, they can entertain you, make you laugh, you know. But I'm lucky that I work in two industries where the people, by and large, are just wonderful people.
Well, I think that has a lot to do with your personality because you're approachable. In other words, people can talk to you. They feel a certain warmth coming from you.
Well, thank you. Yeah.
I know you're modest, and I can see the smile on your face.
Wait a minute. Lou, let me rephrase the question. If one of your kids sent to you, Daddy, I'm thinking of becoming a lawyer or an arbitrator or a producer of shows, what would you recommend to your own kid?
Well, if you want to become a producer of shows and do it the way we did it, I would say the way we did it, but we never made a dime on our shows. You know, we didn't do it for money, so that's a whole different situation. When you're not getting paid and people know you're not getting paid, they're going to treat you differently and you're at their level because you're not a suit any longer. Our kids are in the business. You're not a suit. But just the people itself, and people are nice all over the world and everywhere else in cities and wherever you're dealing with. Nurses.
Okay, hold on to that
thought.
Don't
go away, Lou. We have to do this commercial break. Stay with us and we will come back.
Maybe. You're listening to The View from over here on crntalk.com. And we'll be right back after this commercial word. Stay tuned.
Back. This is Stan Weisleder on CRNTalk.com with Malcolm Berman here in the studio at downtown glamorous Sunland. And our special guest today, Lou Zigman.
Yeah, Lou, why don't you tell us where our audience can access some of the old shows, the videos, and find out more about the New York alumni?
Well, just go to NYAlumni.com. That's our website, and on the first page, there will be pictures of Lou Gossett and Milton Berle and John Voight and Rita Moreno. And if you click on any of those pictures, Ben Stiller for the younger people, if you click on any of those pictures, you're going to get a 3 to 4 minute video, which will show you what the New York Alumni Association is all about. And one of the things that we're all about is when we used to honor people, starting with Milton Berle, instead of giving people plaques and laudatory comments, We used to graduate them from high school.
Well, that's assuming they never graduated.
The ones that were of that vintage, most of them never graduated high school, and they went out and started their careers. And we, the first time, we flew out the principal of Professional Children's School, and we graduated Milton Berle on stage 65 years later. We were on ABC News. And we had a pal for the rest of our lives until Milton passed away. Mm-hmm. And he emceed our show forever on. And the audience, not only did the celebrity who graduated from high school in Beverly Hills on stage, the audience loved it. And that was part of our shtick. And we were able to do that with many, many celebrities. And it really, it was like a bar mitzvah.
But Lou, I remember you did that one year with Tony Orlando. And then he ended up getting an honorary doctorate at some university.
A year and a half later, he came back and quelled to this, to everybody that he now became a doctorate at oral. And he cupped his hands and says, it was a Gentile school, Oral Roberts University. And everybody laughed and had a great time.
A doctor of divinity. Lou, could you repeat that website again?
Yes.
Lou, you used the word quvel. What is quvel? Explain
everybody
to our listeners.
Everybody just loved it and smiled and brought tears to their eyes. That's what quvel means. A lot of pride in what we do, all of us, because we're all part of it. And it's the nyalumni.com. And from there, you can email us also. But you can see the pictures. You can see the videos. And if you like it, you know, let us know. Get on the mailing list and email us at nyalums@aol.com.
Or you could contact us at you can contact Stan or Malcolm at theviewfromoverhere.com.
Lou, how many people did you actually get high school degrees for?
Probably about six, seven, or eight. Not all. Some of them did graduate. Hal Linden graduated from CCNY.
Ah, that's my alumni. And then uptown or downtown?
And we presented him with his degree because he never got his degree. He had to go out on the road.
Anyway, Lou, thank you very much for coming. And we'd like to make this the headquarters for New York alumni. And let's see what we could start again.
That's very good. We'll be happy to join in.
Yes, and we'll do it's called a groundswell, is that it?
Or swell ground, I don't know.
Yes, either way.
Anyway, we're at the end of our hour. Thank you for listening. You're listening to CRN. No, not you're listening
CRN,
at crntalk.com.
crntalk.com. And Malcolm, after all this time, you still don't know the name of the
view from over here. It's still too early in the morning. I still don't wake up.
It is very early.
Anyway,
yes.
Go to www.viewfromoverhere.com. Know that. And we will see you guys next week. Ta-ta.
The View From Over Here is a co-production of Infinity X and TBG International. For further information, contact Malcolm Berman at 818-687-2784. That's 818-687-2784.